If you would please, take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And once you find John 4, I want you to find verse number 29. John 4:29. And then let's stand if we could. John chapter 4, verse number 29. I'll read out loud to you. Verse number 29. John 4:29. The Bible says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." He said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The last few words of that verse that we just read is the title of today's sermon, "The Fields Are White Unto Harvest." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us as we take the book that you wrote, and we preach it, and we teach it, and we learn it. Help us, Father, to do our part in regard to this thought of the fields being white unto harvest. Holy Spirit of God, help no one to interrupt this service. Help that we would all just shut out all the things outside this building and lock in on the truth from the Word of God. Do a work, and maybe, Lord, eternity will be affected in many ways as a result of this morning's sermon, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. In this story, Jesus is in Samaria at Jacob's well. He is thirsty, and he asked for help from a Samaritan woman. Now, she questioned his request because the Jews and the Samaritans had very little to do with each other. And matter of fact, they were not even really friendly toward one another. And then Jesus says, "You should be asking me for a drink of living water." And that's picturing salvation. Eventually, she trusts Christ as her Savior, and she runs to town to tell others about Jesus Christ. Jesus and his disciples remain right where they're at. The disciples said, "We'd like to get you some meat to eat, and we'd like to refresh you, Jesus." And he says, "My meat is to do God's will." In other words, Jesus was saying, there's something bigger to me than having a little bit of food. There's something bigger to me than pleasing my flesh. And then he makes the statement that we see in John 4:35. He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I was preaching in Georgia some years ago, and I'd flown in, and my plane landed, and it was dark, and the host pastor picked me up. He took me to my hotel room. We had to travel some distance from the airport, and we checked into the hotel room. It was pitch dark out. I wasn't really sure where I was, but I was in a hotel room, and my hotel room was all the way in the back of the hotel. I did not know it, but behind our hotel was a huge farming area. And, I fell asleep, woke up the next morning, and I knew the sun was coming up, and I decided that I wanted to open up the window to my hotel room that would look out into that farming area. And when I did, I went over and I grabbed a hold of the little cord on the pull string for the curtain, and I pulled those curtains open. And I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to what I was doing. But boy, when I opened up those curtains, I lifted up my eyes from looking down at the ground, and I looked out into a field, and I just couldn't believe my eyes. Behind that hotel, for acres and acres and acres was cotton plants, and in full bloom. And you could see nothing but white. I mean, it was just a white sea of softness. As far as the eye could see, there were cotton fields. You could see nothing but the cotton fields. You looked out and you did not see a tree line. You did not see a road. Just acres and acres and acres of cotton. It looked like a heavenly cloud had rested upon that cotton field, an ocean with waves of pure white. And I got to thinking about this verse. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I think out in Vanceboro, there's a farm, White's Farm. I think there's you get to traveling out that way and you'll get to see some cotton. Just everywhere I looked, there was cotton. I mean, it was just everywhere. I have some. You looked out and it was everywhere. Everywhere you looked, there was that cotton. It was everywhere. Just like these cotton balls, there was just cotton everywhere. I mean, it was everywhere. You look and you would look and you would look, and all I could see were cotton balls. They were all around me. When I stepped out of the hotel, there were cotton balls. They were just everywhere. And I got to tell you, there were a lot of them. There had been no way to count how much cotton there was out there. I mean, everywhere you looked. And I mean, I have no idea how many. I have no idea how much. But I looked at it, and then I got to thinking about the verse. I got to thinking about how somehow there was it was related that Jesus was trying to say the fields are white unto harvest. What was he talking about? Well, the cotton, that's lost man. And he was saying somebody needs to help with the harvest. Matter of fact, the farm called White's Farm, if you went on their website today, they are advertising that they are looking for people to help with the harvest. I'm looking for people to help with the harvest. The fields were white unto harvest. Jesus was saying, you look out and there are multitudes and multitudes of people that need to be reached. It's harvest time. That field becomes our area where we serve, where our church tries to reach people. And that white crop, those are the souls of men. I want to challenge our church today. I want to challenge those of you that will consider yourselves Christians. I want to challenge you to help me with the harvest. I want to challenge you to help me to pick up the cotton balls and get them to Jesus. I want to challenge all of us. Hey, folks, I got to tell you, I believe our area is ripe unto harvest. And it just happens to be spring program time. And I think we need to reap for the Savior. The sermon's simple. First of all, the fields are white unto harvest. In John 4:35, it said, look on the fields, for they are white. What does that mean? It means that the fields are full. There are thousands, yet millions of people that need to be saved. Now, Brother Jack and I were talking earlier. He passed out some tracts this week. He said, three different people in a row that I passed a tract out to, when I questioned them about their salvation, they gave a clear testimony of salvation. That's great. We're excited about that. But I am going to tell you something. That's not common. It's not common that three people in a row that you present the gospel to are going to say, I'm saved. Why? Because this old world is full of lost people. There are people everywhere that need Jesus Christ. I don't even believe that we have brushed the surface of the potential in regard to the people that we could reach here. Craven County, Lenoir County, Jones County, Pitt, Pamlico, Beaufort County. I believe we could reach those counties, and we need to reach them. Before I came here to become the pastor, I studied every one of those counties, realizing that, oh, we could get people possibly to drive 30 to 45 minutes to come to church. And you can. Do you folks realize something? Within reach for our church, there are over 400,000 people that we could reach. You say, I don't know, preacher. You think you can get somebody to drive 35 minutes to come to church? Would you drive 35 minutes to get a good steak? You can get hot dogs anywhere. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there that need to be reached. And I believe this. I think the fields are white unto harvest. You know, there are subdivisions being built all over this county. Our streets can be jam-packed. You get out there at the wrong time. Good thing you have the security of your salvation, because you get out there when the streets are packed full. You'll want to say words you ought not say that could cause you some grief with your Heavenly Father. The fields are full, like the cotton fields. They're white unto harvest. I marvel. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Mrs. Owen, she loves Walmart. I'm okay with Walmart, but I do not go to our Walmart on Saturday. Y'all know what I mean? That place is packed out. Now, there is one thing I will tell you that excites me about that. When I drive by Walmart and I see that huge, that's a huge parking lot. When I see it overflowed and packed, I have no desire to go in there shopping. None. But brother Jason, I'll tell you what I do like to do. I like to drive by and I think, look at all those people. Look at all those people that we can help. Look at all those people that we can reach. And I'm here just to tell you, all you got to do is drive by Walmart on a Saturday when everybody's down there shopping, and you will find out this place is full of people, and a bunch of them do not know Jesus Christ. Hey, lift up your eyes, Christian. The field is white unto harvest. Boy, hey, look, folks, drive through our county and the adjoining counties. You know, there is construction everywhere. Everywhere. Building business after business after business. Hey, if you can't find a restaurant in our area that you like, just wait. They're going to put another one up next month. Business after business. Building houses and apartments. And the lady's got a new Hobby Lobby. I got more energy out of the women right there than I've had in years. But I'm telling you, all of that says something. All of that says that there's people. And I happen to believe this. I believe that God wants people to move into an area where there is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Bible preaching church where God knows those people will get saved. I think if there's influx into the area, God wants us to reach those people. You see, the fields are white unto harvest. Might I tell you this then? It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, the harvest truly is plenteous. And of course, you know, it's our spring program time. And to those of you that are a little newer in our church, there are some churches that they might have a week revival, and I'm good with that. We decide to do this. We decide to have revival 52 weeks a year, but about 4 or 5 weeks in the spring and then 4 or 5 weeks in the fall, we just intensify our efforts and work at it a little harder. Some churches, they don't try to get people saved 52 weeks a year. We're out after souls 365 days a year, 52 weeks a year. We're always trying to get people saved. But every once in a while, we put a little more energy into it. And it's our spring program time. I love that song, My House is Full, but My Field is Empty. You know something, folks? We do have a full house here at the church. But the field, those that are helping to harvest, there are very few that really get involved in reaching people. And God said, hey, the field is white unto harvest. And there's plenty to do, but we've got to have laborers. Our church not only wants to get people saved, but we need some people to become a part of our harvest team. Yeah. harvest team. Did you know something? Did you know that on Thursday nights, we have a group of people that go out and you say, what are they doing? They're out getting cotton. Do you know we have a group of people that go out on Saturdays? You know what they do? They're out picking cotton. You know, we have people walking around town all the time, just passing out gospel tract. And by the way, if you know how to pass out a tract, it'd be a good idea for you to take that a step further and learn how to win somebody to Jesus Christ. You know what we need to do? We need to walk around gathering cotton. What is that? The souls of men. The souls of men. We need that. You need that. Hey, listen. I'm glad when I looked it up out at White's Farm, they were actually advertising that they needed people to come and be a part of the cotton harvest. And I thought, that is so good. I like that. And today, I invite you to become a part of the cotton harvest. Help us to reach people. Now, I don't know what some churches want. Maybe some churches just want people to come and give money. That really has very little to do with what we are doing around here. We're trying to keep people out of hell. That's what we need. We need to keep people out of hell. You see, the fields are white unto harvest. And it is. It is harvest time. You know, for a long, long time, they pick cotton by hand, and they still do some. Now they have a faster mechanical cotton picking machine, and that's not cussing at the machine. It's a machine that picks cotton, and so, but they've got a machine. You know what? I want our church, I want us to pick them one at a time, but I want to also reach the multitudes. You know, look, I'm satisfied if one person gets saved, that's okay. I wanted that one to get saved, but I've got news for you. You don't have to get just one saved. I mean, if one is all that could get saved, then let's get that one. But folks, you don't have to be out there very long to find out. There are all sorts of people everywhere that need to be born again, and we could have a part in that. I want our church to be a cotton-picking church. I want to reach the multitudes. Those 400,000 people that I think we have access to, I think we ought to be trying to reach every one of them that we can possibly reach. I really do believe the Lord's coming back. And I believe He's coming back someday soon. And I really do believe it is harvest time. I really do believe that we ought to be reaching out to people. Hey, let's not put it off. You know what these people said? They said, say not, here's what Jesus said to him. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Jesus said, don't put this off. There's some of you, you're not right with the Lord. You know how to reach people. You know how to win souls. You know how to impact people in that way, but you're not doing it. You're backslidden. Could I recommend to you that you decide that you're going to get that part of your life right with God, and you start reaching people, and you start getting people saved again. Some of you say, I don't know what to do, Pastor. Grab yourself some gospel tracts and hand them to everybody and invite everybody that you can to come to the church, and we'll show them how to be saved. But I can promise you this. I know the fields are white unto harvest. I know that harvest time is upon us. But why don't we harvest? How long are you going to wait until you get involved in the people-reaching aspect of church? I want to encourage you to do something. I'll say this now, and I'm going to say it again later. There are some of you, you spend so much time on you, it's pathetic. Time for some of you, knock it off, live right, and become productive for God. There are other people out there. There are people that you're supposed to help. Why don't we have more help at harvest time? Well, one reason is we're saved, and that's the main person we care about. I'm saved. I'm not going to go to hell. Well, you know, it doesn't stop there. There are others that need the Savior. Somehow you got the gospel. But why don't we have more at harvest time? Why don't we have more people involved? Well, our family's saved. There's some of you say, my wife's saved. My kids are saved. I'm saved. And since really that's all I care about, I'm good. I'm fine. Well, folks, somebody else's family's not saved. Somebody else's husband's not saved. Somebody else's wife is not saved. Somebody else's children are not saved. We ought to want to help with that. You say, well, I'm in a good church. Well, I'm glad for you. But there are others that need a good church. There are others that need the gospel. I wonder if we don't believe in hell. Have you watched Hollyweird depict hell in such a comical and a unrealistic way so long that you no longer believe there's a hell? Well, folks, there's a hell.
There are people there right now. If somebody didn't get born again, they're going to go to that hell. It's a real place. And though you're saved, others need to be saved. And though your family's saved, other people's family need to be saved. And though you're in a good church, they need to be in a good church. I wonder if we're just procrastinators. I wonder if a bunch of people sit out there and say, you know what? I'm going to do that. One of these days, I'm going to start getting involved. And one of these days, I'm going to go tell people about Jesus. I'm going to show up for soul winning. One of these days, I'm going to get in the bus ministry. One of these days, I'm going to start bringing visitors to church. Can I tell you something? How long have you been saying one of these days, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days? When's it finally going to arrive? When are you going to get off of life being all about you and getting your eyes on the fact there are other people out there? Hey, that is exactly what Jesus said to him. He said, lift up your eyes. He said, the fields are white unto harvest, and don't, and Jesus, I'm sure that he had some power behind everything that he said. He said, and don't give me that stuff that we're going to put it off again. He said, you keep putting it off, and you keep coming up with excuses, and you keep your life so busy that you don't have time for anybody but you and yours. And Jesus said, you get on the ball and get involved. I believe that's what he was saying here. And so the fields are white, and it is harvest time. And he said to him, he said, lift up your eyes. Boy, when I was in that hotel room, Brother Jay, I wasn't expecting the cotton field. I thought I'd see an old dingy field or maybe what was left of a corn field or a bunch of old farm equipment. But when I opened that window, I was overwhelmed when I looked up from the ground and I seen all the cotton. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. I believe this. I believe all of us ought to get a bigger vision for what God wants to do with the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Don't be satisfied with just reaching a few. Let's set a goal of reaching everybody that we can reach. Let's see the bigness of what God wants. Stop being satisfied and decide that you want to reach people. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a vision for your church? Do you have a vision for your church? Or the only vision that you ever come in touch with, a vision of somebody else's? Every one of us, we ought to lift up our eyes. We ought to all look unto the field. We ought to all realize it is ripe unto harvest. And look, as a pastor, I have a vision for our church. And as leaders in the church, you ought to have a vision for the church. But let me say to every last one of you, if you're a member of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, this scripture is for you too. You ought to have a vision for your church. You ought to have a passion for your church to reach out and reach as many people as possible. Get as many people saved as possible. Help as many families as possible. You ought to have a vision like that for yourself. You say, well, Pastor, that's what we pay you to do. You can't pay me to have a vision. We're all to have a vision. And the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Matter of fact, there's a dual teaching. If there is no vision, the people we should have reached because of that vision, they're going to perish and go to hell. But wait, where there is no vision, the people perish. Look, folks, if you don't have a vision, there's a part of your potential that's going to perish. You need to look outside of you and yours and everything about you and realize there are people out there that need God. They need saved. They need their lives changed. Lift up your eyes. Let me say to the church leadership of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, lift up your eyes. Don't minimize what God wants to do in your life. Don't hold back. Rise to the occasion. Get a vision. Hey, and some of you leaders in the church, get a vision that requires some faith. Step out of your comfort zone and do something for God. Let God use you. Lift up your eyes. Hey, don't just watch others harvest their crops. Harvest and you be involved. You be a part of the harvest. I'm going to show you what a bunch of you do. Watch. There are people everywhere. They need help. We maneuver through life, and we just ignore the cotton. Oh, you'll be friendly to the cotton. Hi, Cotton Ball. Nice day, Mr. Cotton. Why, thank you, Mr. Cotton Ball. Folks, we're to be harvesting. Well, we'll say who? You really need me to tell you? They're everywhere. You say, Pastor, there are cotton balls all over this auditorium. I'm glad you noticed that. Folks, there are lost people all over this county. They're at every store you go to, everywhere you work, everywhere you play, every school that you go to. They are everywhere. They are everywhere. Matter of fact, we bump into them. There are so many. But we ignore it. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Get your mind out of the ditch and realize there's something big going on here. You leaders of our church, lift up your eyes. Hey, lift up your eyes, bus captains. Make sure you're serious about that bus route. Don't be half-hearted about it. Throw yourself in to your program on that bus. Quit making up excuses. Get a burden for your area. Fast. Pray. You know, there was a time in history, as we all know, they would go out and they would pick a piece of cotton one piece at a time. Then they got some equipment, some machinery that would pick more than one at a time. I thank God for the bus ministry. Well, there's a cotton picking machine. By the way, some of ours have been acting up, so they are cotton picking buses. But and I'm not shocked that the devil doesn't give our bus ministry fits. Why? We're bringing in cotton. We're going out after a harvest and we're bringing people in. But I say to the leaders of our church, lift up your eyes. I say to the bus captains of our church, lift up your eyes. I say to the Sunday school teachers in our church, lift up your eyes. Visit your class. Don't just teach your class, grow your class. Put your heart into it. Get you some attendance goals and get you some new attenders. I want to say to all the Sunday school teachers here, it is not the bus ministry's job to build your class. It's your job. For some of you, the only visitors that have ever come to your Sunday school class came as a result of the efforts of somebody else. You got to breathe. You got to say amen. You got to smile or something. I'm going to feel like I'm all alone in this room. Oh, Sunday school teacher. You say, well, I just love it. I've got all these little ones in my class, and this is just so exciting. Look, what would happen if there was no bus route to cater to your class? You reach people. You say, well, where would I find them? The same way the bus ministry finds them. They go out and they walk up a street, and if there's a bicycle in the front yard, there's a kid there. It's not that hard. If there is a swing set there, there's probably somebody there that might qualify for your class. You know, the bus ministry isn't there to replace your importance of reaching people. And so I say to you, Sunday school teachers, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Hey, adult class, you teachers, Brother Nossinger, Brother Young, Brother Hollinger, build your class. People aren't supposed to come in there and be bored. Build your class. Do something with the class. Make something happen in the class. You say, Pastor, you're a little tough. I've been doing this for a long time. And if you want to build an adult Sunday school class, you can build an adult Sunday school class. If you want to build a bus route, you can build a bus route. If you want to get people saved, you can get people saved. You just give me the excuse. I can tell you a reason why. It's just an excuse. D.L. Moody. You know what he did? You know, we have graded, Brother Pine, all of our Sunday school classes are graded. In other words, there's boys' class, girls' class, first grade boys, second grade boys, first grade girls, second grade girls. D.L. Moody did something different. How did he get the poor to his church? Well, they used horse-drawn wagons. You say, well, our buses leave big oil marks out there on the parking lot. You ought to see what D.L. Moody's wagons left on the parking lot. But they would go out in the poor neighborhoods and they would bring kids in these horse-drawn wagons. And Moody would just let the kids go to whatever Sunday school class they wanted to go to. Now, we don't do it that way. I think we're a little more organized than that. But here's what Moody said. He said, I always knew which Sunday school teachers were the best teachers. Because the kids would flock to the teachers with the power of God, flock to the teachers that were not boring, flock to the teachers that studied their lesson, flock to the teachers that were on fire. Now, there are some of you Sunday school teachers, you can thank God that I make people go to your class. Or it'd be empty. Because you don't study your lesson until late Saturday night for the first time. You don't pray. You don't visit. And you don't have the power of God on your life. So it's a good thing I say to the third grade girls, you have to go there. Or to the sixth grade boys, you have to go there.
Brother Edwards, say amen for me. Amen. I need help. I need help.
I preach myself into a corner, brother. The fields are white unto harvest. Lift up your eyes, captains. Lift up your eyes, Sunday school teacher. Lift up your eyes, church leadership. Hey, lift up your eyes, mature Christian. I think we could reach people. I think we ought to be reaching people. I think leadership ought to be soul winners. Deacons, let's reach people. Hey, let me say this. Some of you Bible college trained people, don't show me your degree. Show me your productivity. I got holy people all around. I'm so smart. You want to be smart, then reach people. I don't care if you're the smartest person on the face of the earth. If you can't love and reach people, what good does the smarts do? Say, I've got me a dark doctorate in theology. Well, if you study the same God I did, He sent His Son and said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You didn't get all trained up so you could get a degree and impress everybody. You were to get trained up to reach people, to change lives. A bunch of you went to Bible college and you were not afraid to tell somebody. You got some training. Show us your stuff. Reach somebody. Help somebody. I'd rather have an uneducated old farmer that's bringing people to Jesus, that's out harvesting the crop, than a bunch of educated, unproductive people that are impressed with themselves. Lift up your eye, you Bible college graduates. How about some of you been in the church forever? How long you been going to Fundamental Baptist Church?
I've been going for a long time, long time. Long time. Outlived four pastors.
Yeah, probably helped kill a couple of them.
We've been. Oh, Grandma was a Fundamental Baptist. Grandpa, Fundamental Baptist. My parents were Fundamental Baptist. Fundamental Baptist. I've been in church for a long time. Long time. Long time. Came over with Noah on the ark. Fundamental Baptist.
You know, then I would think it'd be time for some of you to learn how to win souls and be productive in your life. God didn't save you to bring yourself in here and plunk it down in a pew and watch everybody else do the work.
Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, teenagers. Get people saved. I'll tell you what, folks. You cut our soul-winning teenagers loose and send them out on a Saturday, you'll watch them get all sorts of people saved. Be some of you mature Christian adults, and by the way, be good for some of you Bible college graduates to team up with one of my teenagers and let them teach you how to be a soul winner again. Be good that some of my 13-year-olds would take some of you 40-year-olds that are scared of your own shadow, that never tell anybody about Jesus. It might be good for you to get some training from one of my teeny weenies.
I got to do this before next week, because next week I have to be nice. Visitors are coming next week.
Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, teenagers. Keep winning people to Jesus. Lift up your eyes, soul winners. Win the lost. Win the lost. Lift up your eyes. Hey, men, lift up your eyes. Men, if you're a man, lift up your eyes. If you are a man, let's reach some men. The average church in America is made up of children, teenagers, and women. Now, thank God our church is not like that. There are men here. I think one of the reasons is they like to see a guy like me just throw a fit. They like that. They go, Men, we've got to reach men. Jesus surrounded himself with men. And I'm not downplaying the women. I'm just telling you, it's what Jesus did. Men reach men. Get out of your comfort zone. Tell a man about Jesus Christ. Get the men that you work with to come to church. It may be a little challenge to you that men need to reach men. Reach a man. And let me tell you one reason why. If you reach a man, you stand the potential of the whole family coming along. And I love it. You all know how much we love the bus ministry. But hey, just because we reached a first grader does not mean mom and dad are coming along.
But when you start reaching a mom and a dad, suddenly they're going to bring Junior, little Matilda, with them.
I know. Somebody here, your name's Matilda, right? I just lost a church member.
Hey, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, church leadership. Lift up your eyes, bus captain. Lift up your eyes, Sunday school teacher. Lift up your eyes, mature Christian. Lift up your eyes, Bible college influence and graduates. Lift up your eyes, teenagers. Lift up your eyes, soul winners. Lift up your eyes, you, all the men in our church. Hey, those of you that are, work at any of the ministries, whether it's King's Kids or Flyers Club or Youth Ablaze. Hey, let me tell you, even choir members. You know, choir members ought to be telling others about Jesus Christ. Nothing like having a choir member that wouldn't walk across the street to witness to someone, stand up here and sing about the great saving power of Jesus Christ. You talk about minimizing the power of music. But you give me a whole bunch of choir members that went out and told people about Jesus Christ and tried to reach the lost, then have them stand up here and sing about reaching the lost, and the power of the Holy Ghost of God will come down on you while you sing. It's not all about how wonderful your voice is. It's about how wonderful the power of God is. And that is not given to you because you're smart or pretty. It's given to you in submission to the Spirit of God, in submission to His call to lift up your eyes, Christians. Ladies, lift up your eyes. I studied the demographics of our city. There's nearly 3,000 homes in our city that are basically run by a single mom or a woman. They need someone to love and help them. Lift up your eyes. They're everywhere. Oh, I know. You know what? You've got your man at home and got someone to help you pay the bills, and hey, you're okay. So what do you care? Well, I care about all those homes where there's not a dad around. There's not a husband around. Somebody needs to help them. Ladies, lift up your eyes. And you've heard me say this before, and I believe it with my whole heart. The answer for America is not going to be found in the White House. It'll be found in the church house, but it'll be found in your house and in my house. Brother Hacker, got bad news for you. Scientists have crossed a praying mantis and a termite. He's got a business for bug control. They've actually crossed the praying mantis and a termite. This bug prays before it eats your house. Probably enough humor not to get me out of this jam that I'm in, but at least it's a start. Hey, folks, here's what I fear. I fear we're looking down and we're not looking up into the fields that are white unto harvest. It said in Luke 21:8, look up and lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes. That means they were looking down. That means they were minimizing what could be done. That means they, hey, Don't swallow hook, line, and sinker. The philosophy of the day is because it's in the last times, so you can't have revival. Fooey on that. That's not true. That was made for the cowards. There are all sorts of people out there who say you can't, you can't, you can't. My Bible says you can, you can, you can. And I'll guarantee you something. Even if you couldn't, I'd be saying you could, because you're going to reach more with an I can attitude than an I can't attitude. Look up to what God can do. Look up to what God can do with you. Look up to what God can do with your Sunday school class. Look up to what God could do with your bus route. Look up to what God could do with this church. Look up to what God could do with your soul winning. Look up to what God could do with you, teenager. Look up to what God could do with your family. Look up, men. Look up, women. Look up to what God could do with our missions program. Look up to what God could do with our church. I believe that God wants us to look up and look at the fields, for they're white unto harvest. And I promise you something. If you won't limit God, He won't limit you. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Hey, let's reach New Bern. Let's reach Craven County. Let's reach your county. Let's reach, that's our Jerusalem. Let's reach our Judea. I think we can help people around this state. I think we can reach our Samaria. I think we can help reach people around the United States of America. I think we can reach people to the uttermost parts of the earth with our missions program. Look up. Look up. Look up. I fear too many people look down. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Get a bigger vision. You know, I'm not good with music. Don't know a lot about it. But I've helped some song leaders before. You know what I've taught them, Brother Edwards? If you lead big, people sing big. If you lead small, lead big, sing big. Lead small, sing small. Listen, there are people in this room in regard to your Sunday school class, your bus route, your ministry, your soul winning. You need to start getting bigger at it. Everything you do is so small, so pulled into yourself. Take some faith, but step out. The fields are wide unto harvest. You know what we need? We need every center of our church to lift up their eyes and become laborers. You say every center in our church? Uh-huh. That's all of us. You know, some of you have destroyed your lives a little more than others from your past sin. Could I recommend something? So if you have destroyed your lives a little more than others, why don't you decide to make the rest of your life productive? Hey, I challenge you. Those of you that used to party pretty heavy, how about you get committed to God to the same degree that you were committed to the devil? How about you step out and you do for God at the same intensity that you used to do when you were living in the world? And I want to mention this also. There's some of you, you just spent your whole life in the church and you're clean, and I'm so glad, and that's a wonderful thing. But you know, God didn't keep you clean to turn you into a museum piece to show off to everybody. You're kept clean to be used. Preacher, I was with a fellow one day. He loved to fish. And fishing can be a lot of fun. You know, here's what we did. We went in, he showed me this fishing pole. It's a beautiful pole. Rod, reel, it's beautiful. And it cost a lot of money. And he was showing me everything about that fishing pole. The line that was on it, he showed me the lure that was on it. He showed me the pole. He showed me the reel. He had a nice case for it. He had everything. And, you know, I looked at that thing, and he kept on going on and on and on and on about it. I said, how long have you had that thing? He said, about 5 years. I said, wow, it's in really good shape for being 5 years old. I said, have you caught any fish with it? He said, no. He said, don't use it. Yeah, kind of dumb, huh? You know what that is? That's your fishing pole. You got a nice one? Got you a nice Bible case? Got your name engraved on it? Did you get the color that you wanted? Do you carry it to church so everybody gets to see your fishing pole? Might be a good idea to go fishing. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. One of the reasons for that book is to help you, to help somebody not to go to hell someday. Lift up your eyes. To be honest, the ones that have grown up the cleanest ought to be the most productive. To be honest, the long-time seasoned veterans in church, they ought to be your biggest productive people in regard to loving people, reaching people, and helping people. You know what's sad? So often it's somebody that we reached off the street that we're so glad they didn't go to hell, and God salvaged them and took them out of the miry clay and set their feet on a rock, and they say, I'm just so glad I'm not going to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I'll serve you, Jesus. I'll serve you the rest of my life. You know what? We were all going to go to the same hell. We were all going to go to the same hell. But there's so many times people that were kept clean all through the years, they're just impressed with their cleanness. Your cleanness comes from Jesus Christ, and He's the one that loves sinners. We ought to be doing everything we can to reach people for Christ. Hey, I'm done. You're glad. Fields are white. They are everywhere. Lost people are everywhere. Let's reach them. Might be a good idea as you step out of church this morning. In a minute, we're going to have an altar call. You'll be on your way. If you walk by a cotton ball, won't you pick one up? Take it with you. Glance at it every once in a while. They're everywhere. Our fields are white unto harvest. Let's reach people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to the Savior. Come, get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you, I promise. If you need to be saved, you come in a moment. We'll show you how to be born again. To those of you that are born again Christians, let the sermon challenge you. There are people out there that need us to love them and to help them. Let's harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. Who here would say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. I've heard the sermon. And He has spoken to my heart today. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, you may come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. I think there are people that ought to come and just say, Lord, you know what? I don't put much effort into reaching people. I don't put much effort into telling anybody about Jesus. I really need to work at that a little bit more. The fields are wide. I'm saved. My wife's saved. My kids are saved. My husband's saved. But for some reason, we just don't really show much interest. The fields are white. Everywhere you go, there are human beings. They need somebody to love them, somebody to help them. Everywhere you go. Hey, when you walk out today, if you're anywhere near a cotton ball, pick it up. Take it with you. Well, I'll tell you what, if that cotton ball that needed to be picked up, if that was your child, you'd wish somebody would get on it. If that's your little boy, you wish somebody would tell them about Jesus. If that was your little girl, you wish somebody would tell them about Jesus. If that was your rebellious teenager, you would wish somebody would love them and help them and reach out to them. If that was your mama, if that was your daddy. Well, everybody's somebody's child. Everybody's somebody's son. Everybody's somebody's daughter. The fields are white unto harvest. They're white. It's harvest time. We've got to lift up our eyes. We've got to get our eyes on what God could do. Don't look down, look up. Move forward. Don't limit God. He won't limit you. Let's believe that God can do a supernatural work through us, through our church, through our ministry, through our Sunday school classes. We get a chance to express and to see what God can do in the next 4 weeks in our spring attendance building campaign. Everyone, if you'll look at me for just a second. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I have no need to try to build a big church. I have one passion. I want to reach and help all the people I can possibly help. I was a part of a church up near Chicago. It was the largest Sunday school in the world for years. I had that. When I pastored up near Washington, D.C., we had the fastest growing church maybe in the United States of America at that time. We went from 130 people in Sunday school to averaging almost 1,500 people in 10 years.
I don't need to build a big church. But there's one thing I do need to do. I need to reach as many people as we can possibly reach. I just want to keep people out of hell and help their lives. That's all. I think this world is miserable without Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do. And everybody here ought to say, I want help with the cotton balls because of the lives of people. That's really what it's all about. If you have any other intent, you want to build a big Sunday school class so you can say you got a big class, fooey on that. How about we reach every single person we can?